Sunny 102.3 presents The Gone Fishing Show with your hosts, Rick Hale and Joe Dion.
I'll tell you why I can't find you. Every time I go out to your place, you gone fishing.
Ah, you know.
But there's a sign upon your door.
Uh-huh. Gone fishing.
Babble,
babble, babble, babble. There's a sign upon your door.
Pops, don't blab it around, will you?
Gone fishing.
Keep it shady. I got me a big one staked out.
You ain't got no ambition.
You're convincing.
Gone fishing.
Bubble, dazzle, dazzle, dazzle. We gone fishing. Instead of just a wishing. Oh, yeah.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey!
We're on.
Yep. Okay, hold on, hold on. Don't know what's going on, but welcome to the Gone Fishing Show. Yeah, I know. I think we're getting Air Korea or something on our headsets. Anyway, welcome to the Gone Fishing Show. We got a red light, so I'm assuming everybody's out there. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it, Joe? It's not every day that you have to compete with maybe the Vietnamese or the North Koreans.
In studio today.
I can't even hear you guys.
Yeah, in studio today we have... There we go. All right.
We're better now?
Yeah.
There we go.
There we go.
I thought I needed an interpreter for a second. You learned a second language.
Hush, speak. Going, thank you, y'all.
Yeah. I know. I thought we were on Air China or something.
Those darn North Koreans.
You know? All right. Welcome to the Gone Fishing Show. I'm glad you could tune in with us today.
That's right.
We have a special caller going to be calling in about 12:15 or so today. We got her scheduled from Tallahassee. Kelly Ralston, she'll be calling for Florida Fisheries. She's the Florida Fisheries Policy Director in the American Sports Fishing Association. In studio today, we have Elizabeth Sailors made it in. I guess school's out, so she doesn't have to teach kids anymore.
That's it, summer.
So did you teach them anything?
I hope I did.
Good.
I hope I did.
And Captain Don Taylor, Jr., Inshore Outdoors Fishing Charters, is in studio.
Yes, sir.
And we have a third one coming in. He said he was 5 minutes out, Mr. Jeff Altman, American Trappers.
Cousin Jeff.
Cousin Yay. Jeff. He should be in here shortly. He just texted me, said he's about 5 minutes out.
That's right.
So
he had to go put some cologne on.
No, that ain't him. No, it's an old guy with gray hair. I thought that was him. No, it's not.
That guy's too thin.
All right. A little update on Mr. Rick Hale. Rick has improving day by day by day. He's got another scheduled appointment today, and he will contact me and let me know what the update was on it. He might get a chance to call the show today if he gets out of the appointment early enough. And but other than that, Rick's going to be fine. He just needs to rest up. You know, when you get your chest cracked open, that's what happens, buddy.
Yeah, that can't be fun, that's for sure.
No.
I think Mr. Coxey's also is doing better.
Yep, and Rob seems to be doing better as well. I've been seeing a couple of his posts. So.
Yeah, I talked to him a couple of days ago, and he said he was doing better, so that's good news.
So, Elizabeth, been a few weeks since you've been in here, kiddo. What's going on?
Nothing much. I just wrapped up school and everything like that, and I spent the last week over in the west coast of Florida fishing over there in near Tallahassee, just south of Tallahassee. It's like Wakulla County,
Carabelle,
Panacea, yep, all that area.
Mm-hmm.
Over there, just having a blast. Just, you know, spent the last week over there. I just got back into town probably an hour ago. I drove back in this morning.
I can see you didn't use any sunscreen.
Man, I used tons of sunscreen, but I got great sun. Yep, got my tan on, starting my summer tan, so I'm excited.
So where did you go to again over there?
Exactly. Okay, Hickory Mounds.
Hickory Mounds
is awesome. Throwing a lot of spoons, Aqua Dream.
So that's all north of where we went.
Yeah.
Where did y'all go?
Hickory Mounds is. We were over there. By,
it's near St. Mark's.
With Stacy.
Yeah, well, we were in Crystal River.
Crystal River is where we were.
Okay.
Over by Inglis.
Okay.
This is near
St. Mark's area.
Yeah, so you're further on up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Up and around.
And then, and then up near Alligator Point, Carabel, all that area. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's beautiful, beautiful weather. Ockelockney Bay. I hate saying that word.
Say
I
can that never three say times real fast.
I can never do it. Ockelockney Bay. So we went down there, and that's a great place to fish. It was just beautiful, beautiful weather. We went to the springs over there, the Wakulla Springs.
Water super clear over there.
Ockelockney was a little dirtier than normal, but, I mean, cleaner than Jacksonville, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Is the rest of it pretty clear over there also, or is it all pretty much the same, like, kind of stained water?
Hickory Mounds is awesome. Hickory Mounds had, like, the grass growing and things like that. I mean, weedless spoons, you just throw them and... I mean, those reds are just popping out of the grass, just grabbing at them. Reds and trout.
Y'all catch much fish?
Oh, yeah, tons. Really? We had a blast. We had a blast over there. I mean, and it's just one of those places where you can go and, you know, you might not have a cell phone signal. You might, who knows, but it was nice just to get over there. And I just put my phone up. I wasn't on Facebook. I put a couple pictures up of the kids at the springs, but, I mean, just a blast over there. That's just, they call it the Forgotten Coast. And the reason they call it that is because you go over there and you forget about all your worries.
So how much fun did the kids have?
So they had a blast.
They don't have bills or anything to have to pay.
You gotta pay.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, it's just one of those little, you know, little towns, little fisheries. You know, you pull over at the, like, one of the places I stopped at was Hutton's Seafood, and it's just a little shack on the side of the road. Get a soft shell crab sandwich.
Little drinking town with a fishing problem?
Do what?
A little drinking town with a fishing problem?
No. There's really, I mean, just it's just an awesome, awesome little area. And, like, I got 10 pounds of crawfish yesterday, and we had them last night, like a little low country boil. And my son's like, oh, you got to bring some home. So we got five pounds of them sitting in the fridge right now. And
I wondered about those for redfish bait.
I don't know. Probably, yeah. Why not? Yeah, absolutely.
Hard to find live ones. Here's the question of the day right here. Why is it called a low country boil?
Because it came from the low country of South Carolina?
Yeah, it originated over there in the lower, I guess they call it lower country.
Low country, mm-hmm. South Carolina. That's correct.
That's right.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. You went to Abu Garcia, 3,500.
Sweet.
You went to Attaboy, you know?
Yeah. Up. I think we got a caller coming in.
Probably I'll see her, like, looking over. Yeah.
How about it? Call. Line one, you got on the air. Go ahead. How about it? Go ahead, caller.
Well, wonder where that caller went to.
No, I don't know.
We'll try him again.
It's not green yet. Hello, this is Gone Fishing Show. Can we help you?
That didn't work either.
Nope.
This isn't a drive-thru.
I can hear him.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like.
What do you have with your French fries? No. Hello. I can hear the air, the wind.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Tell them to call back.
Chuck.
Yep.
Okay.
Bad connection.
Get her, call us back.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, like I said earlier, next segment, we got Kelly Ralston. She's with the Florida Fisheries Policy Director, American Sport Fishing Association.
She used to be an analyst for the FWC,
big time.
She was division of the Marine Fisheries and Management Association. So
she's going to give us some information.
Tell us when we can catch some
red. She's going to let us know when we hit with the snapper and any regulations, any changes, so on and so forth. So, she's a member of the Gulf of Mexico Fishery Management Councils.
It's a big area.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So. All right, numbers 904-296-2692, 904-296-2692, GoneFishingShow.com is the website, and you can check us out. Go to your app store, 102.3 FM, and we're going to take a quick break. We'll get back with Kelly Ralston, should be on the line more or less when we get back. Y'all stand by. Hold on. Thank you.
let's get back to some fishy business with the Gone Fishing Radio Show. Gone Fishing is brought to you in part by Rick's Bait and Tackle. Rick's Bait and Tackle, serving fishermen since Moby Dick was a minnow.
What did he just say?
If you want to join in on today's show, call 296-2692. That's 296-2692. And now, here's the host of the Gone Fishing Radio Show, Rick Hale and Joe Dion.
Well, and we're back.
Yeah, we're back already. Okay.
And this time, no donk, donk, donk on there.
That was quick.
Yeah. That's a positive.
Okay. We're having a few issues this morning. We'll get them worked out.
I have issues every day.
Yeah. Kelly Ralston, Florida Fishery Policy Director, American Sport Fishing Association. We should be hearing from her shortly. She's supposed to be calling in around 12:15. We got a caller on line one. Go ahead. Nope, we don't.
Hello, caller.
Joe, wait for it to turn green, I believe.
Yeah.
And then it should. Right, yep. There. It should turn. Yep. But anyways.
All right.
So, yep.
So when is
keep going.
When is Rick, though, going to be coming back? Do you have any idea? Or,
no, not yet.
I talked to Rick this morning.
Yeah.
He's feeling better.
Good. Yeah.
He was on his way. He had some appointments at Mayo this morning. So I think 12:30 is his appointment. But he said he's lucky to be alive. He appreciates it. And
all right, we got a caller on line one. Go ahead. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Well, we thought we had a caller on line one.
Man.
No such luck.
We know that they're there.
Looks
we
like there's
can't
some
talk to them.
Phone issues.
Yeah.
It looks like they're working it out, though, over there in the booth.
Yep, that's they're working on it.
Anyways, Jeff, so have you done any fishing, Jeff?
Yeah.
How'd you know?
I went a couple nights ago and went last night.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Where'd you go last night?
Up the river.
I didn't see you.
How'd you do?
I got a 26.
Are you feeling bamboozled here?
I got a 26-inch red and 17-inch flounder. No. Nice to get that flounder bite.
That is nice.
And caught probably, I think I caught 7 reds last night.
Really?
No trout. Wasn't really throwing for them, though.
Hmm. Last night, meaning what times?
From
after 8?
About 5 o'clock till dark 30.
Okay.
Got home about 10.
Gotcha.
Fired off the grill, cleaned the red fish.
Did you go down by where we go to?
No.
I mean, that
was in my kayak.
That river?
That's what I was going to ask. We're in the boat or the kayak?
Yeah, I was in the kayak.
That's fun.
You know, put in, go out, and...
Gotcha.
Are you still enjoying that, the kayak?
Yeah, I still like doing it.
Good.
He always fishes in my boat.
It's nice being in the boat, though, you know. You get to the spots a little quicker.
It is nice being in the boat.
But the thing is, I cover a lot more ground in the kayak. Well, I mean, you know, as far as fishing those grounds. Because in the kayak, you're constantly working the same area.
Right.
You're moving slow. I might have covered 2 miles last night doing nothing but throwing. In a boat, you go to a spot and you might work.
Cast a few times and you fire up the motor, head on out.
Yeah.
So you're more methodical when you're covering the ground.
Yeah, you're a lot more methodical.
Absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah. I got back because the tide's dropping out and I got back where my drive was starting to hit and I was doing a little bit of dredge and
was the,
pull that up and paddle out of there real quick before
we
get it like Elizabeth and get stuck in the mud.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Don't want that happening.
We fished the river on Wednesday night for just a little bit and it seemed like the tide just never slowed down even after low tide. I mean, it seemed like to me it just kept smoking.
Well, let me see. I went Tuesday night and then...
Low tide was about 9:30 on Wednesday night, I think it was. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it was like around 8 on Tuesday night. So, yeah, be about right. Did you get any trout?
Yeah, caught a couple.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Any monsters?
Caught a couple.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, come on, guys. How big? Over 20?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're trying.
All right, I believe we got a caller on line one. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Hey, young lady.
Got somebody.
Good. This is Kelly Ralston.
There you are.
Okay.
We've been waiting on you.
Yeah, we apologize, kiddo. We're having a few issues.
I hope I'm not late.
No, ma'am, you're fine.
No, you're right on time.
Let me do something real quick to let everybody know. We've been plugging you here since we got on the air, but I want to read this off real quick. It'll take a second. Kelly Ralston, Florida Fisheries Policy Director, American Sport Fishing Association, extensive experience in Florida policy and her fisheries biology background. Ralston understands the science behind fisheries policy management decisions. Ralston has worked as an analyst with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, where she was involved in policy development and stakeholder coordination for the Division of Marine Fisheries Management. She's also a member of the Gulf of Mexico Fishery Management Council's ad hoc private recreational advisory panel. So she's fifth generation Floridian, joined the American Sport Fishing Association as Florida Fisheries Policy Director in August of 2015. And that's her.
She is a busy young lady.
So, Miss Ralston, did we miss anything by any chance?
No, that's plenty. That's quite enough. Well, I appreciate y'all having me on today.
Yes, I've been looking forward to it. So what's going on? Give us some info.
Well, I would say the main reason I wanted to kind of chat with y'all has to do with the potential for a red snapper season this year in the South Atlantic, which would certainly include your listening area.
Yay.
And, yay. I mean, it's still probably going to be limited. So I think they're proposing 2-3-day weekends at this point. At least that was the council's recommendation, the Fishery Management Council's recommendation. And so now we're waiting on NOAA Fisheries to approve that request and kind of set the parameters, like start and stop, that kind of thing. So if your folks are so inclined, getting their comments in to NOAA Fisheries would be really helpful as they kind of work towards making a final decision next week. So there's actually a really great place they can do that on the keepamericafishing.org website. If you click on the Take Action button and scroll down, you'll see where it says South Atlantic Red Snapper, and it'll pre-populate everything, and you can tailor the message if you want to, or you can send it as is to let NOAA Fisheries know that y'all support that.
So Ms. Kelly, so they don't actually have the 3 weekends? Those aren't set in stone already yet?
No, 2 weekends. Two 3-day weekends.
2 3-day weekends with a one fish bag limit is what the council recommended. And so it's up to NOAA Fisheries to actually set the season. So they will certainly take the council's input into consideration, but they're also looking for public comment on that as well. So it's not set in stone yet. We are anticipating that if it is approved, it would probably be mid to late July for those 2 weekends. And NOAA Fisheries will let us know when they've made that final decision.
And if you don't mind, explain to the folks, I'm an inshore guy, and I know there's a difference between state waters and federal waters. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, so there are some species that the state can manage in both state and federal waters, which in your area is 3 miles offshore, is kind of that demarcation line. But there are other species like red snapper where there is federal management that's in place. And so in state waters, there's actually a 365-day-a-year red snapper season on the Atlantic coast. But you can't actually find red snapper in state waters, at least not at this point. So it's kind of in name only, if you will. So we're really looking at this federal season that would be outside of that 3-mile line for red snapper. And it's been closed the last, I guess, 2 years, I think. We had an emergency opening in November 2017, which was really great, and it was based on the same information that they're looking to set the 2018 season.
Yeah, I think the last one was the weather just did not cooperate. Yeah,
6 to 8 foot
six
seas.
6 to 8 foot seas, yeah. And with winds of 20 to 30 knots.
Yeah. They picked a great weekend to let us fish.
Yeah, and we had hoped, the council had hoped that season would be a little earlier than it was. It took NOAA Fisheries a little longer than expected to kind of go through all of the information and set the season. And so we had been hoping for an October season, which wouldn't have been perfect, but hopefully the weather would have been a little bit better. One of the kind of cool things that happened, though, during that season, even though it was kind of a bust as far as weather allowing folks to get out on the water, was that the South Atlantic Fishery Management Council, who's kind of oversees that federal management in your area, implemented an electronic reporting for recreational folks. And so for the fall season, they could go on the myfishcount.com website and report whether they were able to get out or not. And if they were able to get out, what they were able to catch, they could talk about whether they used a descending device. Since discard mortality has been a big factor in length of these seasons and whether they happen at all. And because folks actually took advantage of that and did that, they were able to report the fact that, hey, we weren't able to get out in the water. And so because of that, NOAA Fisheries actually extended the season an additional season or an additional weekend, which unfortunately wasn't any better weather-wise, but at least folks could see that there's some positive feedback coming from them being able to provide input into what they were seeing and doing on the water. And
let me ask you a quick question, your honest opinion. What is your opinion on the counts?
So I've actually been attending council meetings for about the last 3 years in person and got to know the council members and council staff. And I feel like they are definitely doing the best that they can with the information that they have. I think, honestly, they would tell you that they're frustrated with the data that they have available to make decisions on. And there's a lot of what we would call low intercept species, you know, rare event species, either because they're not caught often or because the seasons have been so limited, like red snapper. And unfortunately, the data collection techniques that that are really good for other species don't work well for that. And so the data that goes into a lot of decisions is not questionable, but it's not sufficient, I guess, for the decisions that they have to make. So I would say that they are probably equally as frustrated as anglers are at this point.
And Kelly, that's what I wanted to ask you. I was reading your bio earlier, and it said that you understand the science, behind the fisheries and the policies and that kind of stuff. As far as the science goes, is there really a scientific way in order to assess the areas and then assess each species in those areas to determine the counts, or do you still just rely on, people's input, and is it still like an educated guess, so to speak? I'm not sure if that's a good term or not, but you know what I mean?
I would say art form, maybe.
There you go. That's okay.
Yeah.
Art form.
So there is scientific data that goes into this, and I think there's, a conversation to be had about whether there's enough. Or whether it's the exact right kind that we need. So when the scientists are looking at developing a stock assessment as to whether or not a fishery is in good shape or not, they use two sets of data. So they use data from harvest, so what's reported by commercial and recreational folks or what they're estimating from recreational harvest. So that's one part of it. And then they're also using what they call independent monitoring, where there's actually scientists that go out and do species surveys of various kinds. And those two types of data then are combined to form a more holistic picture of how the stock is doing. I would say on the recreational side, we struggle with having accurate estimates of what folks are harvesting out of the water. And that's kind of where this whole idea of electronic reporting and anglers being able to participate in the process, I think, really is important because that's a key component. One of the things that they've struggled with on the opposite side, on what we would call the independent monitoring or that scientific going out, just seeing what's there apart from a fishing scenario, they've actually, to make this decision for the 2017 season, they've looked at some different information to come up with what they would call an abundance index. And they've been seeing that the stock is actually increasing dramatically, even more than we ever anticipated. And so scientists are trying to look at some alternative methods, maybe is a better way to put that.
Kelly, we have to go to a break. Will you hold for us through the break? We should be about a minute and a half or so. Can you hold for us
absolutely.
So we can get back with another segment?
Yep.
All right. Absolutely. You're listening to the Gone Fishing Show on Sunny 102.3 FM Jacksonville. You can call us live at 904-296-2692. Apple or Android users can download the app on the Play Store by typing in Sunny FM 102.3. You're listening live, streaming on your computer. The website's www.gonefishingshow.com.
There is no G.
In fishing.
Gone Fishing Show. All right, y'all stand by.
We'll be right back
with Kelly.
Nova. Nobody walks when Woody talks. And you know what? That boy loves to talk with people. He listens well, too. He listens to his customers' needs when it comes to their use of a vehicle. Helps you find the perfect fit. Perfect in the selection, the service, the price, and the financing.
Yes, ma'am. We love happy customers. We knock ourselves out to make you happy and keep you that way. If you're soon going to be vacation bound, we loaded with the perfect vehicles for you. Talk to me or talk to Lim Tootin or any of our Jessup team.
Woody's right. If you got a job and can fog up a mirror, or Captain Credit can get you riding. And be sure to ask about our free lifetime powertrain warranty. Good for as long as you own the vehicle. This is Liam. Talk to me.
Them is some good boys, honey. Yes, ma'am. And they're at Woody Folsom Overflow, North 1st Street here in Jessup. To be young again. Well, I'm still young at heart. Slightly older in other places. Woody Folsom Overflow in Jessup, GA. Talk to us.
James Gilmore was a pioneering missionary to Mongolia who used a pen with liquid ink for all of his writing. But unlike most in his day, he never used a blotter to dry the ink. Instead, when he finished writing a letter, he laid down his pen and waited for the ink to dry while using those ink-drying moments to pray. Think of all the prayers that ascended to heaven because of his faithful discipline. We may not have to wait on ink to dry today, but we still have many waiting moments. Stoplights, traffic jams, checkout lines, those are prime opportunities to talk to God. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's availability in prayer on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Is Greystone Kitchens better than the big box stores for your new cabinets and countertops? About 1,000,000%. Hi, I'm Jeff Martin from Greystone Kitchens and Martin Appliance. We are 1,000,000% better for cabinets and countertops, and I can prove it. Better selection, styles, and options. 100% better. Any color you can imagine. 100% better. Faster turnaround and completion. 100% better. You get a hassle-free fun experience and a contractor that listens to you and brings your dreams to life. It all adds up to 1,000,000% better. For the first time ever, our quick cabinet and countertop makeover is on sale this month. We just got 2,000,000% better. Don't let a store clerk design or manage your project. Get Greystone Kitchens to do it, and you'll have me. I'm a licensed contractor, for crying out loud. Find us at GreystoneKitchens.com.
State licensed contractor, CRC 1330991.
What you see is what you get. Martin Appliance Family.
The Jumbo Shrimp are back at home from Friday, June 8th to Tuesday, June 12th to face the Biloxi Shuckers. Promotions include Napa Family Fireworks on Red Shirt Friday, Saturday Beach Towel Giveaway courtesy of Hyatt, Baptist Health Sunday Family Fun Day with Princess Day, Bark in the Park on Vistar Credit Union, Charity Begins at Home Monday, and a Community First Credit Union 2 for Tuesday, plus Yingling Business Person Special. Tickets start at just $5 and are available on jackshrimp.com.
To ensure your vehicle's maintenance and repairs are done properly and at a fair price, call Stewart Automotive Repair. This family-owned operation is an official Napa Auto Care Center with ASC-certified mechanics that have the know-how to diagnose and repair almost any foreign or domestic vehicle that comes their way. Stewart Automotive Repair. Great people. Great service. Located behind the Kangaroo Store at Beach and Hodges. Call 992-6868. Online at stewardautomotiverepair.com. That's stewardautomotiverepair.com.
Let's get back to some fishy business with the Gone Fishing Radio Show. Gone Fishing is brought to you in part by Rick's Bait and Tackle. Rick's Bait and Tackle, serving fishermen since Moby Dick was a minnow.
What did he just say?
If you want to join in on today's show, call 296-2692. That's 296-2692. And now, here's the host of the Gone Fishing Radio Show, Rick Hale and Joe Dion.
Hey, okay, we're back, and I believe we still have Kelly. Kelly, you still on the line?
I am.
There you are. All right.
Thank you for holding. We apologize for the long break there, but we have.
No worries.
So, Ms. Kelly, so you're actually the, it says that you're the Florida Fisheries Policy Director. Can you kind of tell us what exactly that entails as you being the policy director?
Sure. So I work for the American Sport Fishing Association, which is a trade association for the sport fishing industry. So we have everybody from media to brick and mortar stores to manufacturers and that sort of thing. And about 3 years ago, the industry kind of recognized, officially recognized the importance that Florida plays in our industry. It's a $9.6 billion economic impact every year for fresh and saltwater fishing combined and 128,000 jobs. So they looked to bring somebody on that would focus exclusively on the state. And I was with FWC at the time and thought this was an amazing opportunity. And so my job really kind of entails pretty much anything that would affect Florida fisheries. So it's everything from water quality issues, from our springs to Everglades restoration, as well as state fisheries issues. So redfish and snook, Goliath grouper was a recent conversation at FWC, and then also federal fisheries management on both the South Atlantic and Gulf councils, because all of that is kind of encompassed in the state. So there's a lot of complicated stuff going on, and I certainly don't do it alone. We have a great staff up in D.C. that that is well-versed in our issues as well, but I'm kind of boots on the ground in Tallahassee and actually lived in Jacksonville for a while, so familiar with that area as well.
All right, quick question on the flounder, your honest opinion. Where do you think they should be?
What
as far as regulation size?
Oh, gotcha.
I think we need to go to 15, kiddo.
14 would be good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good to know. Yeah, we haven't had a lot of conversations about that as of late at the state level. So good to get that input and would strongly encourage folks to kind of give a shout out to FWC in particular if they're seeing things kind of in the water that are concerning, because that's kind of how regulation starts, right? Or changes in regulation.
Mm-hmm.
Is just that initial reach out, and then the conversation can build from there, especially if there are multiple folks, you know, kind of saying the same thing, even if it's only in one area.
So Kelly, as I understand it, the FWC or the South Atlantic Fisheries Management, they do an assessment every 4 years. Is that correct?
It depends.
A stock assessment.
A lot of the priorities given to kind of the need for that assessment. If there's, you know, an economic need, if the species, if it's been closed for a while, and we're really trying to look to see where it is so we can reopen it. So they prioritize, and they actually change those priorities pretty regularly. So it's not a set schedule. It's more of a need based schedule.
Okay. I was just because I thought I read or someone told me, a biologist told me that I guess they assess most of the zones I guess we have in our state here every 4 years.
Yeah.
So there's a difference. So so the council does some of that for some of the federal fisheries, but also FWC picks up a lot of stock assessments here in the state, either for just state managed fisheries, but also for some of the federal fisheries as well, because quite frankly, there's just not enough money to go around to get everything done the way that it probably would and could should be done.
Kelly, are you familiar with the RFA?
Yes.
Okay. Rick Hale, a few years back, Rick Hale was the president of the Florida chapter, and I was the treasurer, and we were pretty active in the RFA for a while, and between another captain here local, Captain Vic Tyson, was also heavily involved with the Recreational Fishing Alliance. And it just kind of fell off to the wayside. Yeah.
I got you.
So,
I think Dennis O'Hearn's still around. He was doing some of that RFA stuff. He's more in South Florida, I think.
Right.
We really work with him more, I would say, on a national level.
Yeah. It was Jim Donofrio.
Yes. And yep. He's still around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, good. Well, glad y'all have had some, you know, some advocacy efforts. And, you know, I would really encourage folks to stay involved. I know it can be frustrating at times, but one of the really positive things that we've seen in the last 6 to 12 months is kind of a real paradigm shift at the federal level. You know, a real desire to not only recognize the importance that recreational fishing plays and is, you know, that it's not just a bunch of guys going out on the weekend and having fun, mm-hmm. but that it's a real legitimate economic
impact.
Industry,
yeah.
And it's important, and we really need to address how we're managing it, because historically, so, they've only managed commercial fisheries.
Yeah. So, Kelly, let me ask you a question. This is Elizabeth here. So, what can we do as anglers? If we want change, if we want things to turn around, what can we do? What's the next step here?
So there's a couple things. First, if it's a specific issue like red snapper, mm-hmm. definitely pay attention when those alerts go out. You can sign up on keepfloridafishing.org to receive our newsletter and any alerts that we sign up, you know, that we send out. CCA Florida is another great group for advocacy in that regard. And then there's actually some federal legislation that we've been strongly endorsing called the Modern Fish Act. Congressman Webster has been one of our great co-sponsors here in the state. He's out of Orlando, really trying to make NOAA fisheries focus on recreational fishing. And like I said, we've seen some really great changes just since the change in administration that have been very, very positive, but really trying to work to codify some of that into permanent long-term changes so that recreational fishing is afforded the attention that it deserves.
And how can we as anglers help you guys with your data? Is there something we can do?
Absolutely. That if you go to the myfishcount.com, which is the South Atlantic Fishery Management Council's reporting system, you can download the app. And while we're promoting it as far as a red snapper season, they're actually looking for help with pretty much all of their fisheries.
Okay.
And so it's basically a reporting platform that you can use for any of them. For folks that are going to be targeting things in the Gulf, the FWC is going to be promoting iAngler app, which is another electronic reporting system that they can basically report anything on. Again, they're trying to focus specifically on red snapper there. And then also just being good conservationists. You know, when you're out fishing in deep waters offshore, you know, definitely make sure you're using some sort of a descending device or venting tool. Use best fishing practices to make sure that you're taking good care of the fish, which 99.9% of people are doing. But just to kind of highlight that and make sure that, you know, we're doing everything we can to put fish back in the water that we're not intending to keep.
So what the main word in this whole conversation is, we need participation from the people.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, and I know folks have been discouraged in the past, and that's why I wanted to also offer some hope on the horizon. We've actually developed a really positive partnership with South Atlantic Council because they need your help. They really do, and they want it. And one of the most engaging staff and set of council members I've seen, like I said, their hands have been tied, unfortunately, because some of the shortfalls that they've experienced. So as much as people can get involved and help, I think the better off we'll all be in the long run.
Good deal.
Ms. Kelly, hey, this is Captain Don Taylor again. Question for you. I saw I think it was a bid or something on TV or YouTube. What is the, have they made a decision yet on the Goliath grouper?
So the FWC at their last meeting decided that they didn't have enough information to open harvest. And because, you know, that species is really prone to overfishing because of their size and their site fidelity and things like that, they are really taking a cautious approach to that. Unfortunately, part of the problem is that we don't have an accepted stock assessment, and the problem there is that we don't have enough information on older fish. And to get that information through traditional methods would involve harvesting a lot of older fish to get that. And so it's kind of a catch-22. You can't get the information without killing the fish, but you don't want to kill the fish to get the information. The commission charged their scientists to come back in a future meeting, I think this year, with some options that would get them to the point where they could potentially make a decision. And, you know, it's controversial. We would certainly support opening a season if the science is there to support it and if it's a really limited harvest, because they're such an iconic species.
Right.
You want to make sure that if you're going to do it, that you're doing it in a very responsible way. So we felt like they did the right thing at that moment, but we also appreciate the sentiment that if the data shows that it can be opened, then by golly, we should open it.
Gotcha. Well, thank you very much for calling in. We appreciate all the information, and we've got your address, you know, your email and all that kind of stuff and your websites that you gave us. We appreciate your time, and thank you very much for calling us, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you all.
Kelly, have a safe weekend, sweetie. We appreciate it.
And you're listening to the Gone Fishing Show on Sunny 102.3 FM, Jacksonville. Call us live. 296-2692. Apple or Android users, download the app at the Play Store by typing in Sunny FM 102.3.
Letty is next. If you hold on, we'll get right back to you after the break. Hold tight.
That's Lisa.
Southern Sportsman is now open on the south side of Arlington Expressway. They stock everything an outdoorsman thrives, from firearms and fishing, archery and knives. They've got bows by Hoyt, Obsession and Prime, with an archery range for practice time. Everything's there a fisherman digs, from T. Allen rods to TBS jigs. Guns by Glock can always be found at Southern Sportsman, the best in town. Located at 8324 Arlington Expressway. Give them a call today at 903-2745. That's 903-2745.
You wouldn't trust just anyone on where to find your next big catch, would you? So why trust anyone when it comes to buying or selling your home? When the experts at RealKeeper Realty can help you navigate your way through the biggest financial move you'll make in your life. Just like fishing, when you're selling your home, you got to put out the right bait to attract the best buyers. And when it comes to buying the right home for you and your family, we'll stay the course and make sure you find a real keeper. For all of your real estate needs, give RealKeeper Realty a call, 904-414-4000. Real Keeper Realty, your home, your future, our commitment.
Heading out to Hexer Drive to fish? Then there's only one bait and tackle stop for you, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp. They're located at 5212 Hexer Drive and have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Run out of bait while fishing? Well, Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply. No boat? No worry. Browns has the finest docks to fish on, so you need to give those folks a call at 757-1600. A big supporter of the Recreational Fishing Alliance, Browns Fish Camp, 757-1600.
Do you have a boat? Then you need to know Shark Attack, a mobile marine service licensed and insured to install and repair marine generators, electronics, stereos, water and waste systems, as well as complete or partial rewires. Have a boat? Then you need to know a mobile marine technician that will come to your boat. Shark Attack does just that. Also offering consulting and pre-purchase inspections. Call 904-200-8709. That's 904-200-8709. And receive $50 off your first service call.
Beach Boulevard Motorsports is your Ranger Bass and Bay Boat connection. Whether you're a pro or a sportsman, saltwater or fresh, Ranger has the boat for you. The all-new 2016 Ranger boats are in stock at Beach Boulevard Motorsports. With interest rates as low as 4.99%, there's never been a better time to buy than now. Kick off the 2016 fishing season with a new Ranger boat from Beach Boulevard Motorsports. Beach Boulevard Motorsports, located between Southside Boulevard and St. John's Bluff. Online at bbms.com.
Hey, you want to boat some fish? Call Captain Don Taylor at Inshore Outdoors Fishing. He's a regular right here on the Gone Fishing Show, and boy, can he fish. From Nassau to St. Augustine, Captain Don has been hooking redfish, trout, flounder, sheep's head, tarpon, and snook for years. You'll be fishing with one of the best while using the latest rods and reels. Book your family-friendly charter today. Inshore Outdoors Fishing. If the fishing is tough, stay longer. If the fishing is great, stay all day. Call 318-9906. That's 318-9906. Online at InshoreOutdoorsFishing.com. Palm Cove Marina, the place boats call heaven. And for good reason, Palm Cove Marina prides itself by offering the largest dry storage facility coupled with the finest wet slip accommodations on Jacksonville's intracoastal waterway. Also, you'll find that Palm Cove Marina provides full marine service, a travel lift, very competitive ethanol-free fuel prices, and they even have a swimming pool. Palm Cove Marina, located on Beach Boulevard on the west side of the intracoastal waterway. Call 223-4757, online at palmcovemarina.com.
Let's get back to some fishy business with the Gone Fishing Radio Show. Gone Fishing is brought to you in part by Rick's Bait and Tackle. Rick's Bait and Tackle, serving fishermen since Moby Dick was a minnow.
What did he just say?
If you want to join in on today's show, call 296-2692. That's 296-2692. And now, here's the host of the Gone Fishing Radio Show, Rick Hale and Joe Dion.
And we're back.
We're back on the Gone Fishing Show. I'm Captain Don Taylor with Mr. Jeff Altman today and Miss Liz Saylor.
And I got a mouthful of food.
Go ahead. Yeah, he does.
He has a mouthful of redfish dip that Jeff brought.
So we have a caller. I think we got Miss Lisa Fitzgerald from the CCA. Is that correct, Miss Lisa?
That's right. All righty. How are you guys?
Hey there, Lisa. How are you?
Jeff, Liz. Well, I still appreciate it.
She didn't say Donnie.
I'm a little sad.
I'm a lot sad. I'm more than a lot sad.
Well, I mean, it's a heartbreaker. Good news is I found out that you have a total of 5 tagged redfish in Nassau County, which was a mistake on my part. You do have 5 tagged fish, but as of yesterday, you're back down to 4 because we had a recreational angler.
Mm-hmm. That was in Duval County.
In Duval County.
No, what she's saying last week when she called in, she said that there was three tagged redfish in Nassau, but now she's saying there's 5. Is that correct, Lisa?
You have have a total of five fish. Someone caught one in your county, so you now only have four.
Wow. Well, we're up in Duval, so Nassau is
one county north. Yeah.
One county so, north. Okay. But no. Duval has five fish.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Duval now then. Okay.
Four.
I got you.
Yeah,
okay. We have four.
Caught in Duval.
Okay.
And I will tell you, the gentleman knew nothing about the competition. He was an angler out there looking to catch a fish for dinner, caught the fish, put it in his ice chest, just like anyone would do who's fishing for a fish. And when he finally noticed the tag, he called the number on the tag, and heartbroken that he had actually harvested the fish, but he had planned to have it for dinner, and we're not against that.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So right. He did get registered in the competition because he knows there's lots of other chances. If he catches another redfish, he can enter it in our non-tagged redfish division. If he catches a trout, he can enter it in the trout division, and he's got opportunities to win boats in that way, too.
Also, so if I understand you, I didn't know that part. So if you're not registered and you catch one, so that basically disqualifies you from then registering and catching it. If you can't by chance catch another one, you're not allowed to.
No. If he gets re-registered, gets re-registered, he just felt like, what are the odds of him catching a second fish that's tagged?
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. No, you're not disqualified unless you're untruthful or do something that we catch you at.
Now, I got a couple of questions. As far as when you're registering a fish, if I register a non-tagged redfish in the kayak division,
yes,
is that the only fish that I can register for the day?
Oh, no.
Go register the other fish under the conservation?
Under conservation, but here, Jeff, you're fishing out of a kayak. The first thing that I would do is the first legal redfish that you catch, I'm going to enter it in the open division, the open non-tagged redfish division, because there's a brand new salt marsh skip available in that prize division.
Okay.
Then the next redfish that you catch that's of legal size, enter it into your kayak division.
Okay.
And then the next one you catch.
Now, let's say I get a
conservation division.
Okay. Say I get a trout.
Enter it in the trout division.
Okay.
So, Ms. Lisa,
every one of those have boats. Their prizes are valued at over $15,000.
Wow.
Guaranteed.
Wow.
So, Ms. Lisa, this is Don Taylor. So, as a captain, can we register non-tag redfish in certain divisions or trout or other species?
The only thing that captains can register their fish in is the conservation division.
Conservation, okay.
Captains cannot compete in the recreational division against the recreational anglers, but you do have an opportunity in the tagged redfish, in your own separate tagged redfish division, to win a brand new 150 Yamaha motor.
Okay.
Place prize for a second fish is a $5,000 prize package from Humminbird, Minn Kota, and Talon, along with a gift certificate from West Marine Stores. And then your $2,500 prize package is the same.
Gotcha. That's cool.
So can I ask a question? If Captain Don takes out, like, clients on his boat, and he's just the captain, but somebody else on the boat is also CCA or CCA Star and does all that, are they open to do the recreational part?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. We just had a captain in Brevard County, and he's registering all his clients now.
There you go.
They have a chance to win.
Uh-huh.
And he also caught a tagged fish and released it.
His client caught the tagged fish.
Gotcha.
And released it. So he's making sure that all his future clients are registered, because imagine that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
Lisa, I'll clear something up. Somebody said something a couple of days ago that if since I'm captain of the boat and one of my clients catches a redfish that's tagged and they're not registered, a guy was telling me that the guy is still eligible for something. Is that right? Does that sound right?
He is not.
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. We had a discussion. I didn't think so, but okay.
In years past, we tried to do that, but it didn't work.
Okay,
so we felt we wanted to reward the captains most of the captains wanted to fish for a tagged fish anyway.
Right.
So we went ahead and made it so that they could fish for a tagged fish.
I understand.
As long as they're not on a charter for hire.
Gotcha. All right.
You know, and I just know that you had Kelly on the show with you, and I wanted to let you all know that with the Star app, when you register your fish, that information is shared with iAngler and with the conservation organization.
Oh, okay, good. That's great. Good. That's wonderful.
Catch data. When you land a grouper, there are questions there as to whether or not how you use that fish, whether you vented and released it, used a descending device. You know, a lot of the FWC's information is gathered when they're at a boat ramp. And we all know, I've said this before, as recreational anglers, even me, I fib a little bit when I catch a fish.
No, so
no.
We want to make sure that we have proper information. So last year we provided over 28,000 catch registrations, and that is dependent data that can be used by any of the conservation organizations that want information for habitat mapping, stock assessment, and this year we included grouper just for that purpose.
Okay. I got you. That's cool. Well,
so now what happens? What happens when you get stopped by FWC at the boat ramp and they say, "Have you caught any snapper today?" And you go, "Well, no, because I wasn't targeting those.
I'm in a kayak."
You know, or you know, and then so they have to mark the box. No, didn't catch any snapper or flounder or anything like that. You know, just the data. What, you know, did you catch this or did you catch that? But if you're not targeting that, how does that all work?
All of that is. You know, that's where
very unscientific.
You know, I have to be conscientious. That's where data can be skewed. You just have to be, we have to just be cognizant, and our conservation groups have to be cognizant of the fact that some of the data can be skewed, because if we're at, let's just say, Sisters Creek, and half the people going out of Sisters Creek boat ramp are offshore and half of them are inshore, or it might be 60-40 inshore, 40 offshore. They're skewed data.
Yeah. Yeah. Because so, if you're coming in and you know, you've been targeting trout and redfish all day, and they say, "Hey, did you catch a snapper?" You say, "No." Well, then, oh my gosh, nobody's caught any snapper. There's no snapper out there.
Well, exactly. I've been asked that question at Clapboard Creek when I came in on my kayak one day.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, no, there's not many snapper down in the creeks.
I couldn't paddle that far out, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, Miss Lisa, we were talking.
Really pay attention. And one of the things that Kelly really made mention of, and I appreciate her, you know, saying.
I want to ask her something about what we talked about a while ago.
Hey, would you mind waiting about 4 minutes? We're going to a commercial break, and we're going to be back in about 4 minutes. If you don't mind waiting, we've got a couple more questions we'd love to ask you.
We appreciate it, Lisa. Hold on 1 minute. You're listening to the Gone Fishing Show on Sunny 102.3 FM in Jacksonville, Florida. Call us live 904-296-2692. Apple or Android users can download the app at the Play Store or by typing in Sunny FM 102.3 or listening through live streaming on your computer from the website at www.gonefishingshow.com. And there ain't no G in fishing. And we'll be right back.